Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yumot of Pei Dalid. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins on the fifth wide line of Daf Pei Dalid, if you prefer, 17 lines from the top. The Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, the Dibur HaMaskil, that is, V'oid Omar Rav Masya. Our Mishnah, back on Daf Pei Gimel, had mentioned different refuels, different remedies, and amongst other things, there was a reference made to someone who was bitten by what we believe is a rabid dog, and Rav Masya ben Chorosh argued with the Chachomim regarding the efficacy of the remedy. Feeding the victim, the patient, from the liver of the dog. The Mishnah went on to say, the Oid Omer of Masya ben Chorosh, one who has a feeling of discomfort or pain in his throat, so a medicine is to be administered to him even on Shabbos, with the explanation in the Mishnah that this is a matter of Sofek Nefoshos. Meaning that a choshesh begrono, here you have a case of a translation difficulty, but we're not learning halacha lemaisa in Gemara markings. We're not claiming to be teaching practiced halacha. Therefore, we'll take the risk and just translate choshesh begrono has to do with a discomfort in the throat. More than that, on a halacha lemaisa basis, that you have to look into matters further. But regarding that, he allows the taking of medication to alleviate that on Shabbos. So we continue now in our Gemara on that point. The Gemara opens up and we have a title heading, a topic heading for this section under our Nosei, the topic heading that we provide on the side of our Shas Ozer Gemaras. We've written, Maiseh B'Rebbe Yochanan, Im Hahu Matrunisa. There's an incident featured with Rabbi Yochanan and a particular woman of rank, a non-Jewish woman, she mosra lo trufa lemachlas tzafitna. She gave to him a potion, or she informed them how you can prepare a potion to combat this ailment, tzafitna, which is we'll see later on some more detailed descriptions of what it is, but it's a mouth-throat related malady. In addition, we will see some markings, some geometric forms as the Gemara goes on, which continues in this. They are Protim, Beinyan Safidna, details regarding Safidna. We'll see Trufos Lamachla, remedies, Mimai Havi, from what does this ailment come, and Mai Simone, and what are the signs that a person is suffering from it. So we continue now in the Gemara. Fifth wide line, at the end of the line, the Oid Omar of Masya. Note, we have a long marking. We're calling this a Maisa. It's a story. Rabbi Yochanan Chosh B'Tzafidna. This story is reported also in Maseches Avodah Zarah, Daf Chof Ches. He was suffering from Tzafidna. We're in character with Gemara markings. We hesitate translating all kinds of different items of a biological, a botanical type nature. Here we're dealing with the name of an ailment. So for our purposes, we'll simply refer to it as
Tzafdina, which is what the Gemara says. Rashi, we should read Rashi together on the upper part of the narrow lines. Rashi says, Tzafdina choylei hashinayim v'achinachanichayim. This is an ailment affecting teeth and one's gums. U'maschu b'peh v'gomer b'vnei me'ayim. It starts in the mouth, but it eventually travels or spreads to the digestive system. U'mesukan hu. This is an ailment that endangers one's life. So Rabbi Yochanan was suffering from tzafidna. Ozal, we continue in the Gemara, Ozal gaboda I matrunisa. He went to a matrunisa. You see the word matrunisa reminds you of the English word matron, and Rashi adds, nochris hoisa, she was not Jewish. Ovda le milsa, Chamisha Umali Shabbata. She prepared for him a potion on Thursday and Friday. Omar Lo B'Shabbos Mai. He asked her, "What about a preparation for Shabbos? What should I do with regard to Shabbos?" And so Omra Le Lo Tzarichas. You don't need anything for Shabbos. Her feeling apparently was the 2 days of treatment or the quantity of potion that she prepared for him, that was enough. So she said, you don't need I matzrichna mai, and Rabbi Yochanan responds, and if I do need, so what's going to be? Omra le, so she tells him, Ishtabali le'loko di Yisrael, the lo maglis. Swear to me that unto the God of Israel you will not reveal the ingredients. Ishtaba lo le'loko di Yisrael lo maglina. He swore to her that unto the Lord of Israel he will not reveal the ingredients, the potion. Galya le, she revealed to him the ingredients. Nofak drosha bapirka. He then went out and publicized that which she told him. That's what she taught him. The Gemara, how could he do that? Vah ishtaba lo. But he swore to her. The Gemara answers, take careful note of what the oath was. Le eloka di Israel hu delo maglina. Unto the Lord of Israel, I will not reveal. That's what he said. Ha l'amo Yisrael maglina. But to the nation of Israel, I will reveal. That wasn't incorporated or included in his original oath. Question. V'ha ika chilul Hashem. But is there not a defaming of the name of God on the part of no less than the great Rabbi Yochanan? And Rashi explains, Vo'iko chilul Hashem, shehi svura she'ovar shu'oso. Could she not think that he violated his oath to her? So the Gemara answers, there's no room for her to think that. Demagli lo me'ikora. Rashi explains, the magli lo meikora meahi shaita goli lo, from the original point, he revealed to her, he clarified to her, lo nishpati loch ki kach omarti. I didn't swear to you that I would not reveal it at all. I said, and you heard me say it, that I will not reveal it to the Lord of Israel. And so she understood that when he went ahead and revealed it, he was talking to the people of Israel, and that was not included in his original oath. So that when he revealed it, when he in fact revealed it, she knew he was not violating the terms of his vow. Maybe a little editorial is needed. It doesn't sound like this was so 100% kosher. Maybe people's eye, you might raise your eyebrows. I don't know. But as far as letter of the law is concerned, and the terrible possibility of Chilul Hashem having taken place, that is not the case over here. If you say that maybe you're still left with a bad taste in your mouth, pun not really intended, but if that is the case, bear in mind that there's a counter consideration, and that is that you're dealing with a life-threatening ailment, and it is to the benefit of the public to know what the solution is, what the potion is, and that probably was what motivated Rabbi Yochanan to behave the way he did. But we, in the Gemara markings, have to emphasize what the Gemara is trying to emphasize, that there was no Chilul Hashem, there was no defaming of the name of God in Rabbi Yochanan's behavior, because it was he made it very clear to her that which he is going to reveal it is not a violation of his vow. That is really the main point for us right now. As far as what we introduced, you are you still left with a bad taste? And that, so we tried to give some justification for his behavior. We continue in the Gemara. We noted earlier this geometric form, this trapezoid form, or we call the volcano marking. There are a series of details that the Gemara continues with regarding Tzaf Dina. Mai Avdi Lei. Well, what was the potion that she made for him? We have a few approaches. Number one, Omar of Acha Brei Rav Ami. May Seor Shemen Zayas Umelach. Seor is sourdough. So apparently in preparing the sourdough there was some type of watery content that separated from it, and that watery content is called May Seor Shemen Zayas olive oil and melech and salt. So combining these ingredients she created the potion. Rav Yemar, number two, Omar, Sor Gufei, not May Sor, and you notice we dashed underline this just to draw your attention to the difference. This is Sor itself, sourdough itself, Shem and Zayas, milk, the other two ingredients the same. Number three, Rav Ashi, Omar, Mashcha de Gadfo de Avzo. We glance at Rashi. Mashcha de Gadfo de Avzo. Rashi you'll find in the upper quarter of the page. Shumon moyach etzem koton shibaroish knaf ho'oif. This is literally it's fats from the marrow of a small bone at the tip of the wing of a bird whose name is Shikorin, and Rashi gives a French name, Kanail. Socha oisoy al tzedo'ov. And this Rashi tells us that she smeared it on his tzedo'ov, silver temple. So, this using this material, the substance, this fats from the marrow of that particular bone, this was effective. Omar Abaye. Abaye, he tells us that Ano Avdi Lekulhu, Velo Itsoi. Apparently, Abaye suffered from Tzavzino as well. He says, I tried all of these different suggestions, and Velo Itsoi, I was not healed. Ado Omar Liahu Tayo, until an Arab told me, Aisi Kashyaisa de Zesa de Lomolu Tilsa. Aisi, bring. We're describing here olive pits. Olive pits are Kashyaisa. Kashyaisa de Zesa. That are young in their development. They haven't developed a third. That's the lomolu tilsa. So you're taking these premature olive pits, the kalinu means and burn them, benura in a fire, amora hadato. Amora is a type of implement, a farm implement, a shovel possibly, but it burned them on a new shovel. In other words, the blade of the shovel is made of metal, so you burn these date pits on a new shovel blade, ve'advik bekochi dorei, and then take the ash and stick it onto the row of teeth. Avdi Hachi Vitzoyin. Abaye concludes saying, I did that and it worked. The next detail, Mimai Have, from what does this ailment come? Answer, Me Chamimi, Chamimi Dechiti. One who eats wheat bread that's inordinately hot. Umishiri Kosa Daharsana. Kosa Daharsana, Rashi says, are dogim mitugonim im hakemach b'shemen shelahen. It's fish that are fried with flour in their own oil. So shuri, Rashi says, she'ovar olav halayla. So it was left overnight. These small fried fish that were left over, and one eats them. That's mishure kosa daharsana. Omai simone. The Gemara continues with what are the signs of this ailment? What would arouse suspicion that a person is actually suffering from it, or what is the sign? So the Gemara explains how do you tell? Kad rumi midi bekoche, when someone would place anything on his teeth, v'osa domi mibei dori, and his gums would bleed. Rashi says, Keshenoisin klum bishinov, zov hadam mishuras shinov. Placing something on one's teeth and an ensuing blood flow. So if someone sees that, experiences that, so then he has to worry that he is suffering from tzafdina. Rabbi Yochanan ki chosh b'tzafidna avad hochi b'shabato v'itzi. And when Rabbi Yochanan suffered from tzafdina, he did thusly, apparently a reference to that which we saw earlier by way of therapy. So he did that, and he was healed. V'Rabbi Yochanan hechi oved hachi. Now this line, if I'm not mistaken, by Filukin Rashi, so he says, we don't have this as the girsa over here, but if we read the line as it is, it seems to be that the question is, how could he do this on Shabbos? After all, there is a halacha that one is not to engage in medicinal preparations on Shabbos, and yet Rabbi Yochanan did. Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, Rav Nachman answers, Shaini Tzafidna. Tzafidna is different. It starts in the mouth. It's a disease or an ailment that starts there, but it spreads to the digestive system, and as we saw earlier, it could result in something that's life threatening. Omar le Rav Chiya bar Abba the Rav Yochanan. So Rav Chiya asks, Kiman Rav Masya ben Chorosh, is your behavior, your ruling of taking this medicine on Shabbos because of this particular ailment, is this based on the individual opinion as opposed to a majority opinion? Are you basing yourself on the individual opinion of Masya ben Chorosh, Yomar HaChoshish Befiv Matilin Loisam B'Shabbos? And this was in the Mishnah on Pei Gimel. Omar Le, Rabbi Yochanan says, I'm not basing myself on what you are claiming might be an individual opinion, because Shani Oimer, I say, Bezu Velo Bacheres, meaning that with regard to the Choshish Befiv, which we're associating with the Tzafdina, the Chachamim are Moide to Rav Masya ben Chorosh. V'lo b'acheres, and not with regard to something else. In other words, regarding something else, they disagree. And that we saw is a reference to the rabid dog bite remedied by its liver, by consuming its liver. That is something Rabbi Nasya said works. The Chachomim say otherwise. And of course, unless it's a proven effective remedy, you're getting involved with the problem of eating that which is unkosher. Dog liver is not kosher. Rav Masya ben Chorash was of the opinion that the dog liver remedy is effective, and hence it supersedes, because you're dealing with something that's life endangering, you can take it. But the Chachamim said it's not an effective remedy. The Gemara continues with we have in our Shas Ozer Gemara markings geometric form here, a series indicator on the side of the Gemara. Under our Nosei Mivneh, we introduce this. The triangle highlights Lema Mesayale, and it will highlight actually a third stage as well, but it's in the same spirit of things. Nisyonos Lesayale Rabbi Yochanan, we're going to present attempts to support Rabbi Yochanan Sha'omar, Debinyan Trufa Litzafitna, Achachomim Moidin Rav Masya Ben Chorosh, Shi Refua Mo'ila, that regarding Tzafitna, the Chachomim will concede to Rav Masya Ben Chorosh that this is an effective remedy. Lafuke Bekelev Shaita Bechatzakovet Shelo, to the exclusion of the liver consumption remedy, where they disagree with Rav Masya. So we want to bring support to Rabbi Yochanan that says that the Choshesh B'fiv issue is something that is unanimously accepted. Notice the structure of the Gemara. We have a triangle, and on the side, we're presenting this as a long question, because the Gemara opens with Lema Masele. Can we say that the following, we have a Tanaic source, will support? After that long marking, the Gemara then is Doche. There's a rejection and a Hochinami Mestabro comment, which also we're presenting here as a long marking till the bottom. So there's a question and then a rejection of the suggestion till the bottom of the Omid. When we get to Omid Beis, then at the top of Omid Beis, another triangle appears, an attempt to support Rabbi Yochanan's point that Choshesh B'fiv remedy is something unanimously accepted. Again, the ramifications of this are with regard to Shabbos, where we say, in general, the taking of medicines for something that's not life-threatening is not allowed on Shabbos. But if we say that here you have everyone concurs, so it's something you would be able to do even on Shabbos. The Gemara. Lema Mesayale. Let us say, can we say that the following supports Rabbi Yochanan's claim that everyone, that's the Kule Alma, everyone would agree that the Choshesh B'fiv Matin Lo Sam B'Shabbos. Mishachso Yerakon, a person who is experiencing this malady called Yerakon, Machilinoso Basar Hamor, we would feed him donkey meat. Again, that's an assumed remedy. Mishanoshri Kelev Shaita Machilinoso Machatzakovich, someone who was bitten by a rabid dog, we would feed him from the dog's liver. Vachoshish Befiv Matilin Loi Sam Beshabbos, one who has a pain in his mouth, we would feed him or give him the medicine on Shabbos. Divrei Rav Masya ben Chorosh. Well, so in this Mishnah, in this Tanaic source, we have three issues: Yerokon, Noshel Kelev Shoite, and Choshesh B'fiv. V'chachomim Omrim Be'elu Ein Bohem Mishum Refuah. Now, Be'elu means in these there is no medicinal or therapeutic value. When you say in these there is no medicinal value, lav limute sam, is it not that their intention is to the exclusion of the sam, that would be the number three case, which does have therapeutic value? So that the assumption right now, and this is what the Gemara is the lame omaseva that we have in our triangle is trying to come to this conclusion that the Chachomim, when they said Be'elu Ein Bohem Mishum Refuah, they're basically saying points number 1 and 2 are not of therapeutic value, but point 3 that we agree is good, and that would support Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara says, "Lo, that's not the point of this source." Limute Makizin Dam Lisarunki. This source said that in this source we saw the Chachamim saying the Elu Ein Bohem Mishum Refuah. These don't have refuah. So, what does have refuah? What is therapeutic? What is of medicinal validity? The Makizin Dam Lisarunki. It's bloodletting for an ailment known as Sarunki, another disease. Rashi gives you a nice long French word for that. So that bloodletting is a method of solving Sarunki that is valuable. However, the points mentioned in the source, points 1, 2, and 3, all of those have no therapeutic value. Hachi Nami Mistabra. And now the Gemara goes on to say that this is also likely, in other words, what we just mentioned is as a rejection of the Lema Masele is actually the way to go. Desanya, we have a source, Shloshadvarim, Omar Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, Shishoma Mishum Rav Masya Ben Chorosha, three things that Rabbi Shmuel heard in the name of Rav Masya, and they are, 1, Makizin Dam Lesrunki B'Shabbos, bloodletting on Shabbos, which otherwise, if it's not something that's of something that's not life-threatening, it would be totally forbidden to cause a blood flow on Shabbos. That involves one with a Torah-level prohibition. But Sarunki apparently is life-threatening, so it would be allowed. Rav Masya says you can bloodlet on Shabbos. Again, we've seen this so many times. The rabid dog bite victim being fed the dog's liver. And number 3, V'choshish b'fiv matilin loy sam b'shabbos. One who has a mouth pain, we feed him or present him the potion, the sam potion on Shabbos. V'chachomim oimrim be'elu ein bohem mishum refuah. These have no therapeutic value. Be'elu emutei mai. Well, what are they excluding from therapeutic value? Lav, my lav, atarti basraisa. Vimuti deresha, that they are excluding from medicinal efficacy the last two, to the exclusion though of the first example, the Makizin Dam Lesrunki, that does have medicinal value. So this would be the Hochi Nami Mistabra, support to the Dechiyah that we mentioned earlier. And here the Gemara rejects the Hochi Nami Mistabra. Here you have to be able to follow the flow, the give and take of the Gemara. Gemara says, lo, atarti komaisa vilim uti deseifa. The end of the source that said, Be'elu ein bohem mishum refuah, that is a reference to the Tarti Komaisa. The first two have no value. And by the way, under all circumstances, it's clear that the rabid dog bite victim is something the Rabbanon don't agree with. That they said explicitly in our Mishnah. So that's for sure of no value in the eyes of the Chachamim. What else is of no value? So according to this point in the Gemara, the Makizin Dam Lesrunki was no value. But Choshish Befiv, that's the Gemara says at the end, Ulimute de Seifa, that would have medicinal value. And well, if you accept that, then you would be back to the Lemo Maseya lay suggestion that we opened up with. But as is the case in many Gemaras, you have this style of what we saw, rejection, Hochi Nami Mistabra, and then a rejection of the Hochi Nami Mistabra. We continue at the top of Amud Beis. Toshma, and the triangle indicates that we're trying to bring a support to Rabbi Yochanan's claim that the Choshish Befiv, Matnos Tam B'Shabbos, is something everyone would agree with. So, Toshma, where again, we top line of Omid Beis, the Toni Rabo Bar Shmuel, Rabo teaches the following Tanaic source. And here you have three medical problems. And at the end of the source, where we are informed that this is in the name of Rav Masih ben Choresh, and the Chachamim say something that's rather terse and to the point, says Bezu v'lo b'acheres. The Gemara will try to figure out what was meant by that. Let's see the source now. Ubra Shiricha, a pregnant woman who smelled food and became desirous of it. Machilin Oisa Ad Shetoshiv Nafsha. We will feed her that, and this is a Yom Kippur issue. So feed it to her on Yom Kippur until she is restored, till she feels okay. Number two, umisha nashal kelav shayta machin oisay mechatzar kovet shelo. Someone bitten by the rabid dog, we would feed him its liver. And number three, vachishish befiv matilin lo sam b'shabbes. Divrei Reb Elozer Reb Yosi sheomar mishum Reb Masya ben Chorosh. Someone who has this mouth discomfort, we feed him the potion. We give him the potion even on Shabbos. And thusly was said in the name of Rav Masya. V'chachomim omrim bezu v'lo b'acheres. So the Chum is saying this, in other words, this is good, but not something else. Bezu ai. When they say this is good, what do they mean by that? Ilema a'ubra. If their comment is a reference to point number one, to the first halacha, Pshita, Ubra Miko, Lamando Martolo. The case of the Ubra, the pregnant woman sensing the smell of some food item and feeding it to her on Yom Kippur, there's no one that argues with that. That's something that was unanimously accepted at the outset. That wasn't part of any controversy. So there's no need to tell us that the Chachamim agree with that. Rashi adds, is that something that was ever taught in the name of Rav Masya specifically anyway? It was, when that was taught in the Mishnayos, the Ubra Shericha, it was taught stam, without any name. So it's obvious that that's something everyone would agree with. Elo lav asam shma mino. The case of the Choshish Befiv and the sam, the medicine for Choshish Befiv, this is what the Chachamim are saying, this is good, this works. Now, the reason for that is, the reason for this, Tanaic consideration is because originally when Choshish Befiv was taught in our Mishnah as something that Rav Masya ben Choresh said. The Mishnah said the Od Omar Rav Masya ben Choresh. So here we have a Braisa that's brought to us by Rabba Bar Shmuel that clarifies that though it was taught initially in his name, it's not something that the Chachamim would disagree with. When they disagree, they disagree with case two, with the Noshchei Kelev Shoita situation and the Chatzur, and feeding the victim its liver. That they disagree with him, with Rav Masya. However, with Choshish Befiv, they don't disagree. And this would support Rabbi Yochanan, who said that my taking of the medicine because of the tzafidna on Shabbos is something everyone would agree with. Rav Ashi Omar Masnisin Amidaiko. Now, we've chosen to use a triangle here because this also supports Rabbi Yochanan, and we had indicated earlier that these triangles represent supports from Tanaic sources to Rabbi Yochanan's claim. So, Rabbi Ashiyomar Masnisin Amidaiko, careful reading, Daiko means careful reading of the Mishnah, would show us this point, that the Choshish Befiv issue is something unanimously accepted. What did it say in the Mishnah? And here we have the quote, the Ode Omar Rav Masya ben Choresh, a Choshish Befiv, Matilin Lo Sam B'Shabbos. one who experiences the mouth ailment, we feed him the medicine on Shabbos. V'loy pligi rabbonon olay. The rabbonon didn't disagree. Now this is in stark contrast to what we saw in the original Mishnah from where this quote is coming. Daf Pei Gimel Amud Aleph. This quote is coming on the heels of the Mishnoshlim Kelev Shoita, where the Chachamim said, "Do not feed him from its liver," and Rav Masya said, "You are allowed to do that." Now, Ve'im Isa, the Pligi Rabbonon Olay, if it were so that the Rabbonon disagree with Rav Masya on regarding Choshish B'Thiv, so then Le'arvinu. Lavin means mix them together, teach them together. The case of the dog and the throat matter. V'lisninu, v'lifligu, rabbonon, b'seifa. They should have been taught together, namely, Noshchei Kelev Shoita case, and the Choshish B'Thiv case, and Rav Masi would say, you can do those types of medicines. And then, at the end, the rabbonon would say, no, you can't. But that's not how it was set up in the Mishnah. As far as the Mishnah is concerned, the controversy was stated concerning only the Mishnoshchei Kelev Shoita. However, when it came to the Choshish B'Thiv, we didn't see any objection on the part of the Chachamim. So the Chiddush here in this Gemara is that even though the Choshish B'Thiv case is taught under the name Rav Masya ben Chorosh, it's not something that the Chachomim disagree with. And hence, Rabbi Yochanan and his point that you can take this medicine on Shabbos is something that everyone would agree with. The Mishnah had mentioned, Mitnei Shesofek Nefoshos Hu, and it went on to say, V'chol Sofek Nefoshos Doiches HaShabbos. The Gemara wants to know, why does the Mishnah have to add that expression? In other words, once we see that because of a concern for a suffix, the fushes, there's a possible life-threatening issue. Suffix means there's a doubt, but it means a possibility of life, of something life-threatening. So we supersede the laws, that will supersede the laws of Shabbos. And the Mishnah then went on to say, "V'chol sofik nefashos doiches Shabbos." All cases of sofik nefashos supersede Shabbos. Well, you know, that seems to be obvious. Why do you have to say that? Why do you have to add that? The topic heading on the side of our Gemara reads, "Sofik nefashos doiches Shabbos klal." Ze Koleil, this rule includes Gam Sofek Shabbos Acheres. Even if the life endangering aspect is not something immediate, but if you don't take the medicine now on this Shabbos, then the life threatening element can surface next Shabbos. So even though it's not imminent, the danger is not imminent, nevertheless, by not taking the medicine on this Shabbos, the danger will manifest itself next Shabbos. And that is what the additional expression in the Mishnah will come to include, and we'll Mirtz Hashem see this as we go on in the Gemara. We saw the quote already, Mitnesha Sofik Nefoshos Hu, and then it went on to say, V'chol Sofik Nefoshos Deiches HaShabbos. So the Gemara asks, V'loma li su lemisni lemeimar. Why does the Mishnah have to go on to say, V'chol Sofik Nefoshos Deiches HaShabbos? That all cases of something that has a potential life-threatening element, so that will enable us to supersede Shabbos in tending to it. What do I need that for? Omar Rav Yudah Omar Rav. So Rav explains that the additional phrase in the Mishnah the rule that's added, that namely the whole suffek nefashas dechas Shabbos, is to tell me lo suffek Shabbos zu bilvad omru. Not only when the threat is imminent, elo afilu suffek Shabbos acheres. Even if by withholding the remedy now, the danger will manifest itself next week. Let's take a look at Rashi on this, on the first narrow line above. He says, "Lo suffek Shabbos zu bilvad, lo shei suffek hanefashos l'Shabbos zu." Not only a case where the danger is imminent this Shabbos, elo afilu eina suffek l'Shabbos zu. Even if there's no doubt about a person's life being threatened right now, this particular Shabbos, the pshita lo dayom lo yom yom. So it's clear to us that he's not going to die now. Ella suffek. The doubt is shim lo yasu lo hayom. If they don't do for him the remedy now, shema yomus l'Shabbos haba. He might die next week. The Gemara continues to explain. Hey chidami, what are we talking about? Kedon. For example, diam duha litamne yoimi. A person is suffering from an ailment, and he is evaluated by the doctors that a medical procedure is needed to solve his problem for 8 days. The yoima kama shabbata, and the first day happens to be Shabbos. So a person's brought into the emergency room, and the doctors say he needs the following 8-day medical procedure. And this is in the first day where they're looking at him, that he's being examined. It happens to be a Shabbos. Mahu detema. So one might have thought, without our Mishnah, le'akev ad l'urta, ki hechid lo nichol alei trei Shabbat. You know what? Let's hold off till the night. What? All right, 8 days. So just we'll start the medical procedure this evening as Shabbos goes out, as Shabbos departs. That way, avoiding the need to violate two Shabboses, claiming that it's enough that we delay a little bit and violate next week Shabbos with this medical procedure. Kamash malon. The Mishnah is saying you should not think like that. Don't try to avoid extra Shabbos violation with such calculations. Let's hold off a couple hours. Tanyo Nami Hochim. We have a Tanaic source that supports this, and it reads, Mechamin Chamin L'Chayla B'Shabbos. We will heat up water for someone who is ailing on Shabbos. Bein L'Hashkoso, Bein L'Havrosa. Whether it's for giving him a drink, or it's lahavrosa for bathing purposes. V'lo Shabbos zu bilvad omru, and it's not only if the danger is imminent, elo l'Shabbos acheres. And we dashed underline that because this is the main point. This is the reason we brought the source in. We will do this. We'll heat up the water, starting this procedure, giving him to drink or to bathe him, even if the benefits are not to preserve him from imminent death, but by doing this we'll avoid the danger that would arise otherwise next week. We don't say, let's wait a little bit, maybe he'll get better on his own. We boil up the water immediately, because matters that have a possible life-threatening consequence, that those matters supersede Shabbos. Velo sofek Shabbos zu, elo afilu sofek Shabbos acheres. Not only if the danger is this week is imminent, but the danger would arise a week later. V'ein oisin dvorim halolu, lo al yedei nochrim, v'lo al yedei ktanim, elo al yedei gedoyle Yisrael. And these things we don't do. We don't seek ways to avoid Shabbos violation by having a non-Jew do it, or by having a minor do it. Rather, it's done by Gedolei Yisrael means adults. V'ein omrim yasu dvarim halalu, and we don't say that these things shall be done, lo al pi noshim, velo al pi kusim, avo mitstarfin ledas acheres. If a woman or an idol worshipper says he needs this procedure, so we won't violate Shabbos because of what they say. However, avo mitstarfin ledas acheres. Now Rashi explains, and we must say that Rashi's explanation is something that is not clear, and the Bach in his commentary raises the problem with regard to understanding this Rashi. So we will read the Rashi, and for our purposes it's sufficient that we point out that it needs further explanation. The Rashi says, I'm going to start from the Das Acheres, Kigon, Shnayim Omrim Tzorech. Imagine you have two people saying that he needs this to be done. In other words, he needs the water to be boiled up. Ushlosh omrim ein tzorech, and three say he does not need. The isha kusi omrim tzorech, and a woman or an idol worshipper is joining the two that said he needs it. So mitstarfen leve palgu v'sofik nefoshes nokel. So they are effective being added to a pre-existing unit of people to make it 50-50. And when you have a situation 50-50, we say this is doubt, this is suffix nefoshes, and therefore we can be lenient. We continue with a new Tanaic source in the general same topic of pikuach nefesh. On the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei mivneh heading. We have a structural note combined with our topic heading. The nosei is the topic heading where we feature a diamond and also a double underline. These are markings that will appear in this source. Dugmois, the diamonds introduce examples, laha de mefakun pikuach nefesh b'shabbos, where we develop ways and follow procedures that result in the saving of lives. The afagav shiyesh lo revach nosaf she'oser, even though in the course of the actions described in this source, there is additional personal benefit that is of a non-Shabbos nature, actually something forbidden in general on Shabbos, but because the benefit is, you are receiving the benefit or profiting in the course of saving a life, so it's okay. Behemshich agemora tazbir loma tzrifim l'chol ha-dugmois. Later, the Gemara will explain why we need each one of these examples. So as you can see, by surveying the source, you see a number of diamonds, all examples of saving a life that can be done on Shabbos, even though you have some type of personal benefit. Would it not be sufficient just giving us one example and we'll get the feeling already? So the Gemara will explain why that's not the case. Tonu Rabbonan, mefakhin pikuach nefesh b'Shabbos. The word mefakhin basically means to develop ways of saving a life. And now that explanation or that translation is based on what one would learn in Maseches Avodah Zarah. But for our purposes, we could just simply take it to mean that you can go ahead and do things to save a life. V'azores hare ze meshubach. And one who is diligent in this is to be praised. V'ein tzorach lito reshus mibeisin. And you don't have to consult with the court regarding these matters. Well, let's have some, what do you mean by this, or give us examples. Ra tinok shenofal yam. A person is standing by the shore and he sees a child falling into the sea. Pores mitsudo maleu. One should spread out a net to draw him in. Vazor zareza meshubach. One who is diligent and acts with alacrity is to be praised. The Ein Tzorach Lito Rishus Mibeisdin. No need to consult with the court. The Afagav Deka Tzayed Kavri. Even though in doing this you are going to be catching fish, you're going to be trapping fish, and Tzedah on Shabbos, trapping animals on Shabbos is something forbidden. So that you can have a situation where someone, he actually needs fish, he needs food, and he sees a child drowning on Shabbos, so you can basically, you're catching fish because you're doing so in the course of saving a life. Raw tinok shenofa labor. Person noticed a child fell into a pit. Oiker chuya umalehu. He can dig out some dirt to enable him to get closer to the bottom of it. He's lowering the edge of the bor by digging it out and thereby be able to get into it to save the child. Vazores hareze meshubach v'ein tzorach lito rishus mibeisdin afagav t'mesaken darga. Even though in doing this he is creating a stair, he's building a stair, and he has benefit from having a stair leading down into the pit. Otherwise, if there wasn't an issue of saving a life, building a stair or digging out dirt to create a stair is something strictly forbidden on Shabbos. It's one of the 39 avos malachos, just like tzedah in the previous example. It's one of the 39 prohibited activities on Shabbos. But, as we said, he's doing so in the course of saving a life, so it's allowed. Number three, raw shininala delas bifneitino. Person noticed that a door got locked with a child on the other side. Child's like trapped in a room with a locked door. Shovra umotzio, break open the door and take out the child. The hazores hareze meshubach v'ein tzorach lito rishus mibeisdin v'afal gav dekor mechaven lemisbar b'shifi. Even though, now this is allowed, even though he has an intention to take the boards of the broken door. He needs boards, and here he has an opportunity to get boards by breaking down this door. Now it's allowed because he is doing so with the intention of saving the child as well. Mechabin number four, mechabin umafsikin mitnei hadaleko b'shabbos. One can extinguish and block. Mafsik is to block a fire. A dleik is a fire. Vareze meshubach. Vazorez hareze meshubach. V'ein tzorach lito rishus mibeisdin. V'yafagav deka mamchich makuchi. Even though he is leveling the coals. So we have to explain a little bit more over here. In addition to mechabin, which the Mishnah said, which the source says you can put out a fire. Fire, assuming, as Rashi says, that there is some element of something life-threatening. It's not, we're not talking about putting out a campfire out in the wilds. We're talking about putting out a fire in a densely populated area, which inevitably poses something life-threatening. So one could put out the fire. Now, mafsikin, this involves taking vessels and placing them on the fire. And elsewhere in the Shas, you see the use of clay vessels that are filled with water, and when the heat becomes intense, they actually crack open, and thereby releasing the water, putting out the fire. So the source says, all this is allowed to be done, even though the Kamam Chich Makuchi, he is, as we said before, he's leveling the coals, which will make them useful to barbecue later that evening, or after Shabbos. And again, it goes without saying that if there wasn't an issue of saving lives, just to go to some type of fire and level out the coals on Shabbos would be strictly forbidden. And now, as we said before, the Gemara says Srichusa, and the need to explain why I need each one of these examples. What is there in each example that would not have been sufficient to reveal that which is taught in the in the subsequent example. Utsricha de'i ashminun yam, had we taught the case of the child falling into the sea, mishum da'ada ochi ochi ozelay, if you delay, the water will carry away the child, and it'll be gone forever. Avol bor to call Yosef, but in the case of the child in the pit, he's in a pit. Efshu de Yosef b'haygisa, that's the call Yosef aimalo. He's sitting in the pit. He's not going anywhere. So maybe I don't have to act in this rapid, immediate fashion. Wait till after Shabbos till you take action. Therefore, Tzricha, I have to tell you case number two as well, that even though the child isn't being swept away anywhere, you're nevertheless expected to take immediate action to extricate the child from his entrapment in the pit. The Yashminen Bor, and had we taught case number two, and that you're allowed to violate Shabbos digging out a step to get down into it, mishum dekah mivis, the child is full of fright down there deep in the pit. Avol nin alo deles, but in the case of a child trapped in a room with a locked door, you'll suggest there's a fear factor, just like the case of the board. No, it's not exactly the same thing. Efshu de'yosef b'haygisa mishabish lei b'amguzi. This is what you would have thought without the source, that you can't break down the door on Shabbos. You could sit on the other side of the door and bang amguzi or nuts, giving the child the feeling that someone is there. He's not alone. And he won't be death frightened to death. And by the way, the expression of frightened to death is to be taken literally. There is this, as the Gemara is showing us, that fright could lead to death. So in the case of the door, the locked door situation, I would have thought that by keeping the child aware of your presence by banging nuts on the other side or creating a noise, that would be sufficient. And therefore, tzricha, I have to tell you, in case number three, that is not sufficient. Then you can go ahead and break down the door in order to release the child from his entrapment in the room. Number four, mechaben umafsikin lomali. What's the significance of teaching that particular case? Answer, de'afilu lechotzer acheres. We glance at Rashi. Rashi, you'll notice, is almost across the mirror, a couple lines up. Da'afilu lechotzer acheres, the lake of bechotzer zu. There's a fire in chotzer number one. Unefoshes bechotzer acheres, and there are people in another courtyard. Veim choylin oktanim, and they're infirmed or small or children. That even though we're talking about a fire that isn't affecting the immediate courtyard in which it's found, but it could spread. And that is enough reason to allow this leniency. We continue in the Gemara, and we do so by first looking at the side where we have our topic heading. We call the Dino Shel Shmuel, the law taught by Shmuel, Ein Hoilchin B'Pikuach Nefesh Achar Horoiv. Literally, when it comes to matters of pikuach nefesh, of saving lives, we do not follow the majority. Even though in many other areas of halacha, where there's an element of doubt, where you need to come to conclude something, you follow the majority. Achrei rabim lahatois. Not so in the case of pikuach nefesh. As the Gemara continues, you will notice a series of triangles, and they're featured on the side under the Mivneh heading, Shlavim Kedei Lazbir. These are stages in order to explain Lama Hitkaven Shmuel. What did Shmuel mean? What was his intention in teaching Ein Holchin B'Pikuach Nefesh Achar HaRoiv? So the Gemara, Omar of Yosef, Omar of Yud, Omar Shmuel, Lo Holchu B'Pikuach Nefesh Achar HaRoiv. We don't, in matters in saving lives, follow the majority. Echidomi. What's the case?
You have a gathering of nine Jews
and one idol worshiper. And a structure caves in on them. Rubo Yisrael Ninhu. Well, 9 Jews and 1 idol worshiper. There's a it goes without saying that the Gemara is working with a certain assumption that when it comes to the saving of lives of an idol worshiper, so we don't since idol worshippers themselves don't observe Shabbos, since they're not subordinate to Shabbos. Shabbos, from the Jewish standpoint, cannot be violated for them. In other words, we claim that Shabbos is, you can violate Shabbos for those who keep Shabbos. But for those who are not commanded to keep Shabbos, Shabbos cannot be violated. And when it comes to an idol worshiper, so they're supersede the laws of Shabbos in saving them. However, if you have an issue of 9, if you have a house caved in, that's a mapoles, and there's an issue of violating Shabbos to dig people out from under the rubble. If it's a situation of 9 Jews and 1 idol worshiper, so the majority of the Jews already, so there's no, that's not what Shmuel was talking about. Inami, palgo upalgo, even if it were 50-50, half idol worshippers and half Jews, sofek nefoshes lahokel, when it comes to a matter of doubt, 50-50 is another way of saying I am in doubt. We have a principle that says doubt concerning lives, we are lenient with regard to Shabbos violation. Elo de ikotisha kusim Yisrael echad. Rather, the scenario is a house caved in, an apartment building fell in on a group of 9 idol worshippers and 1 Jew. The Gemara says, well, ha nami pshita, even without Shmuel telling me, this is obvious that mefakhin, that we will violate Shabbos to save the Jew, even though the Jew is in the distinct minority, the havelei kavua, because this is where they are fixed, this is their place. And there is a concept that states, v'chol kavua, when something is at its formal, its special, its designated location, kemechtzo al mechtzo domi. It takes on the characteristics of being a suffix of 50-50. We're not explaining the mechanics of how that works. There are sources, v'aravlo, v'komalov, that are featured in the Torah, and sugyas that explain that a little bit more than this, but for our purposes, we're just going to accept this as axiomatic. Namely, that when you have a group of items of, in this case, people in their formal location, the actual numbers don't matter, and we establish it as a 50-50 situation. So that's not the case either that Shmuel was addressing. So what was he addressing? Lo tzricha, rather, de porush lechotzer acheres. They moved to another courtyard. Mahu detema, one might have thought, when there is movement, called the parash meruba parash. Now, we must explain before getting any further what exactly happened. So we look at the Rashi at the end of the narrow lines. Rashi says, 5 lines before it gets wide, lo tzricha, de parash lechotzer acheres, v'shom nofla al ho'echod mapoles. In other words, there was a group of people, 9 idol worshippers and 1 Jew. And the caving in did not take place where they are fixed, in their mokum kavius, where they live. But rather, this group of people went to another locale. And upon them, there fell this structure. The bechol duchta amrinan, in all cases, we say, called it porosh, meruba porosh, bemidi denaydi. When something separates, porosh is to move away from its fixed location, and you're dealing with things when we speak about moving away. There, 90 means you're talking about things that are mobile. We say that in such cases, the rov is the determining factor. The rov is the majority. Here, in our case, this group of people that lived in chotzer number one, they moved in entirety to a second chotzer that's not their formal location. Even though in their separation they were all in a state of 90, is movement. They weren't in their fixed locale. Nevertheless, since we're dealing with something of a suffix nefashos element, a matter of doubt, of life-threatening doubt regarding the Jew who is in the distinct minority, but it's suffix nefashos, and that's what Shmuel said. He originally said lo holchu bepikuach nefesh achar of the rov is not going to be the determining factor. So that, I know we're sounding a little repetitious, but even though here you have a case of porush meruba, separation from their official location, and we say called a porush when there is separation, meruba porush, then the rov, the majority, becomes the determining factor. Here we don't say thusly. Let's read that line again in the Gemara. We're reading the line, six lines from the bottom. Mahu detemo, without Shmuel, I would have thought, called a porush, meruba porush, here Shmuel is telling us that when it comes to matters of saving a life, we don't make our decisions based on majorities. The Gemara asks, really? Aini, is that so? V'omar Ravasi, Omar Rav Yochanan, Tisha Kusim v'Yisrael Echad, nine idol worshippers and one Jew. If they're in their official, their original location, we will attempt to, we will violate Shabbos in trying to save the life. Here we dashed underline Chotzer Acheres, just like we dashed underline two lines above at the beginning of the line. In Chotzer Acheres ain mefakhin. The Gemara says, and that's contrary to what we said two lines above. The Gemara says, "Lo kasha." There isn't any contradiction here or any controversy. The ha de porosh kulhu, ha de porosh makes a sayhu. If the entire group, nine idol worshippers, nine kusim and one Jew, moved in an entirety to a second chotzer, so then we say mefakhin, we allow Shabbos to be violated. And the reason for that is because in that second chutzner, even though they moved, nevertheless, we know that there is a Jew over there. However, ha de parash mitzasayu, if only part of the original group of 10 people, 9 idol worshippers and 1 Jew, if only part of that group of people moved to the second chutzner, and we don't know if the Jew is there in that second chotzer or not, in that second courtyard or not, we don't know. Here, we say, kol deporosh meruba porosh. Now, read that line in the Gemara again. Lo kashya ha deporosh kulhu, ha deporosh mitzosayu. If they all move to the second chotzer, the 9 idol worshippers and the 1 Jew, so we know that in the second chotzer, there is a Jew. However, if only part of the original group of 9 and 1 moved to the second chotzer, and there in the second chotzer, the mapolis took place, the cave-in took place. Under those circumstances, we won't violate Shabbos. The Gemara asks, Umi Omar Shmuel Hochi, would Shmuel have really said thusly? And this question lasts till the top line of Pehe Omer Aleph. And let's see what the difficulty is. So we're asking, would Shmuel have really said thusly? What's the thusly? So we saw before Shmuel spoke about a lohocho bipuach nefesh achar roiv. For Hatanan, we have the following Tanaic source. There are 3 points in this source, which will be described and discussed by the Gemara later. But the source continues. Motza ba tinok mushloch, a person finds a child cast in the street. Imrov Kusim Kusi, if the majority of the population are idol worshippers, the status of this child, the we'll call it the unknown child, he will be classified as a Kusi. He'll be classified as an idol worshipper. As we said, we'll see this discussed later. Number two, Imrov Yisrael, Yisrael, if the majority are Jews, will be considered a Jew. Mechsa Mechsa Yisrael, and if it's 50-50, he will have the halacha treat him as a Yisrael. V'yomar Rav, lo shanu ela lachyoso. The teaching here of Imrov Yisrael, Yisrael, that's only as far as the requirement of supporting him, of sustaining him, lachyoso, to sustain him. Avol liyachse loy. But as far as Yichus is concerned, Yichus means having a formal Jewish status for marriage purposes as well, that far we're not going to go. The Rashi says three lines from the bottom, Avol liyachse kagonim nekevahi sheikoy muterbo, if the child is a female child. And for us to conclude that we said Imrov Yisrael Yisrael, we're not going to say that she's considered a Yisrael to allow her to marry a Kohen. As Rashi says, she Kohen Mutarba, lo, that we don't say. Vafilu Lekla Mechash L'Sufi, even in cases where the Asufi classification would not apply, and that's a discussion of Maseches Kiddushin, nevertheless we will consider that maybe she is of a Kusi origin. And Rashi points out why that is because when it comes to matters of genealogical purity, which we call Yichus, this requires two majorities in favor of what you want to conclude. Let's continue in the Gemara, though. Rav says that Im Rov Yisrael Yisrael, that's only as far as sustaining or preserving the child. But Liachso Lo. Ushmuel Omar Lefakeach Olov Eshagal. Now, we have to insert Rashi's explanation. And what is Shmuel saying? The halacha of Rov Yisrael Yisrael is Lefakeach Vazagal, to violate Shabbos in extricating him from the heap that's upon him. So what do we see? Shmuel says that under what circumstances will we allow you to violate Shabbos? Only if it's Rov Yisrael, majority are Jews. So how can you tell me before, in the name of Shmuel, that Ein lo holchu bepikuach nefesh acharov, when you see over here, he seems to say that we do need a Rov to validate Shabbos violation. The Gemara continues, Ki itmar de Shmuel, a reisha itmar. Shmuel's comment of lefakech olov esagal is not a comment on the seifa of the source which spoke about in Rov Yisrael Yisrael, but rather it's a throwback to the beginning of the source where it said im roiv kusim kusi. If the majority are idol worshippers, he will be classified as an idol worshipper. Omar Shmuel, now regarding that, we say, with regard to the allowance, the permission to violate Shabbos for saving a life, we don't say thusly that if Rov Kusim are Kusi, but even if Rov are Kusim, we will allow you, even if the majority are idol worshippers, we don't look at that. And we allow you to violate Shabbos and mefakhin olav esagal. At this point, the Gemara explains the different examples or the different categories. And on the side of our Gemara, under the Mivneh heading, the double underline highlights Hezber lagimul hagdoros shenizkiru b'mokor soif. Pay Dalit Amid Beis. We had three categories that were mentioned. What is their halachic significance? And it will become clear as we go on in the Gemara. We start with the first double underline expression, Im Roiv Kusim Kusi, Lemai Hilchasa. You find a child in the street, an infant, no one around, and you find this child lying out there. It says that if the community is majority idol worshippers, the child gets that classification. L'mai hilcha. So what practical, what halacha, what practical law do you have in mind? Amar Rav Papa l'achilo nevelos. You'll be entitled to feed that child, okay, we'll say unkosher meat. Nevelos. Im roiv Yisrael. Israel. If the majority of the community are Jewish, we classify the child as a Jew. L'mai hilchasa. Regarding what are we saying that? L'hachsir loy avidoso. That if, as he grows up, as the child grows up, he happened to lose something, you are obligated to restore to him his lost item. The mitzvah or the chiyuv of Hashavas Aveda will apply regarding this person. Why? Because he was found, as a child, he was found in a community that the majority were Jews. And it's with regard to Jews that there is an imperative, an obligation of this mitzvah called Hachzoras Aveda, or Hashavas Aveda. Mechso Amechso Yisrael, the source also said that if it's a 50-50 community, 50% Jewish, he's classified, the child is classified as Jewish, L'mai Hilchisa, regarding what? Omar Reish Lokish L'Nezikin. This has ramifications to the realm of tort law. Hey Chidomi, what's the case? And the Gemara goes on regarding a situation where there was an ox goring that took place. So what are the circumstances? If you're going to say that it's a case of tura didon, tura is denakhe tura didon, our ox gored tura didei, his ox. If that's the case, and we're talking once again about a community that's 50% Jewish, 50% non-Jewish. Maybe just a word of background before we go further in the Gemara. There's a set of laws regarding tort law, which says if an ox gores another ox, if it hasn't gored three times, it's called a tam. And when it gores, so it pays, the owner pays half damages. These halachas regarding the shor tam and the shor muad are halachas that the Torah states in the context of the Jewish people. When it comes to damages inflicted on idol worshippers, so the standards change. And the basic teaching is that a Jewish-owned ox that gores that of an idol worshipper is exempt from paying. In the case of the idol worshipper's ox goring the Jewish-owned animal, even if it's a first-time offense, a first-time damage, the owner will pay full damages. In the case of two Jews where a Jewish-owned ox gores another Jewish-owned ox, if it's within the first three gorings, so he'll pay half damages. If it's the fourth goring, he'll pay full damages. That's called a shor tam, is the as yet unestablished or non-established shor. Muad means it's going to gore. It has the status of it being a goring animal. That distinction, as we said, is made within the Jewish community. So our this Tanakh source taught that if it's 50-50, so then the child, as he grows up, will be he's classified as a Yisrael. So what's the case? So if it's a case where a known Jewish-owned animal gored this child's animal, and the expectation is that the child is classified as a full-fledged Jew, well, Nisi Rayov in Ishkol, let the child bring proof that he is Jewish and only then collect full damages. That's not the case where we're saying he has the status of a Jew even without formal proof being brought. So lo tzricha, what is the case? The nakhi tura di day, le tura di don. Where his ox, the suffix ox, gores our ox. Palgi yohivle. So half damages he certainly has to pay. Idoch palga, the other half amount of damages. Nemo le, let the suffix say, I see Raya the Lav Yisrael Ano. You bring proof that I'm not Jewish. Ushkol, and only then take the second half of the payment. Because without your bringing a Raya that I am not Jewish, we said before, Palgu Palga, 50-50, the child has the status of being Jewish. And if his ox gores someone else's ox, he will assume that he is Jewish. And as such, the laws of half damage apply. If the victim wants to try to squeeze out of him another 50% payment to make it a full damage on a non-shor mu'ad, the victim would have to bring proof that this child, who now has this goring ox, that this child is not Jewish. In the absence of such proof, we rely on the fact that the community is mechza mechza, and the child will have Jewish status. Hence, all he will have to pay when his ox is the goring animal, all he'll have to pay is 50%. In order for him to be expected to get it to pay another 50%, so the victim will have to bring proof that he's not really Jewish. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.